Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Riley. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 132 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Share in the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. You know, when it comes to match play, an essential concept I underscore with all players, encouraging them to thoroughly acknowledge, understand, and embrace, is the notion of making your opponent uncomfortable. Now, I've discussed this in previous podcasts. For example, in podcast episode 42, I talked about how you can make your opponent uncomfortable by varying the pace, spin, trajectory, depth, and/or angle of your shots. Part of this is about making your opponent hit balls that have a particular action on it against which they may not be comfortable returning. For example, a high-kicking topspin shot to a player with a one-handed backhand. The other part of it is about making your opponent move. Now, one thing I say to virtually every player I've ever worked with is this: I don't care how great your strokes look when the ball is hit or fed right to you, where you do not have to move much to make your stroke. How good are your strokes when you have to move to hit the ball? One step, two steps, three steps, and so on. With virtually all players, there is a drop-off in the quality of the shots when they have to move to hit the ball versus when they don't. The degree of drop-off varies from player to player. Now, what you'll see at the club and recreational level is that typically, players tend to move better laterally, side to side, than they do moving forward and backward. Now, I find this to be the case as we get older, into our 30s, 40s, and so on. The reality is that as we get older, it becomes more and more challenging to move up to the court and hit that short ball, not to mention moving backwards from the net to hit an overhead or returning to the baseline to chase down a lob. Now, even for the younger players, movement forward and backward in the court during match play is often not executed as confidently as movement side to side. I believe this is actually one of the byproducts of the modern-day first-strike tennis game, where players spend a lot of their time around the baseline trying to hit power groundies, and as a result, get a lot of practice moving laterally, but do not spend nearly the same amount of time practicing approach and transition shots where they move forward and backward in the court. It goes without saying, the ability to move and cover the court and get to your opponent's shots with adequate time to set up and deliver a solid reply is critical at any level. Ideally, you'd like to be able to effectively exploit an opponent's weakness of movement or footwork with the primary objective to make your opponent uncomfortable. Much of this boils down to recognizing if a player, particularly a new or unfamiliar opponent, is indeed not a great mover, and whether you possess the shots in your arsenal to take advantage of it. You know, this year we've had some new players, men and women, join in on some of our weekly tennis activities. Most of these players are 4.0 or 4.5 level players. Their games are solid, particularly from the baseline. But the Achilles of their games is when they are forced to move to hit their shots. If the ball is within, say, one step of where they are standing, in other words, if they do not have to move much, they will take control of the point with their solid groundies and make you feel like a human yo-yo. However, if you can make them move even just a little bit, for example, taking two or more steps, particularly forward and backward to hit the ball, well, you will see the quality of their shots decline precipitously. You know, recently I was watching a well-contested set of men's singles between a club member, let's call him John, and one of the new players, who we'll call Bob. It was a lot of fun to watch as both players were very evenly matched. Through the first eight games, which were split 4-4, it had been primarily a set of hard-hitting groundies from the baseline by both players. At 4-all, John employed a different strategy. Instead of hitting and simply exchanging hard-hit ground strokes, he started chipping and angling balls short and wide, forcing Bob to move and cover a lot more court. What transpired was fairly predictable, based on what I had observed and mentioned earlier in the podcast about drop-off in shot quality when players are forced to move to hit the ball. For John, chipping the ball short and drawing Bob to net along with pulling him wide with angled shots proved to be the winning strategy, as he won the last two games rather handily and took the set 6-4. Folks, the bottom line is this: It's always nice if you are able to hit outright winners with regularity. However, that is not a realistic expectation from most recreational players, where the matches often become a battle of attrition, where it comes down to who commits fewer unforced errors. Try working the ball around the court with the primary goal of making your opponent uncomfortable. As I've talked about in previous podcasts, good agility and mobility are essential in this era of power tennis. Pressing an opponent into taking a couple of steps or more to hit their shots can effectively take them out of their comfort zones. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about, making your opponent uncomfortable. And a good way to achieve that is to make your opponent move. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.